This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
It's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanas. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hello, everybody. It's a new dawn. It's a new life. It's a new day. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we recap the week in politics like we're recapping the episode of reality TV. And much like Prince, we are now the artist formerly known as Prince.
And you know what? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Day. My love, mi amore. Is it mi amore or mi amor? Mi amor?
I think it's two different languages.
Mia whore.
Happy Valentine's Day, mi whore.
Well, Valentine's Day, and I'm sure you've forgotten this, it's the anniversary of Gloria Allred's press conference in support of gay marriage. Bitch did it every year.
Oh, God, that's right. And then those two bitches got separated. Yeah.
We just watched the Gloria Allred doc.
And it was amazing. I loved every second of it. I didn't know. And if anyone hasn't watched it, you must watch it right now. It's called Seeing Allred. It's on Netflix, so it's free if you have Netflix. God, I'm already buzzed from this drink. So
good. Let me share the rest of it.
And I have to say, like, I pride myself as, you know, a bit of a... historian of gay lady stuff. Mm-hmm. But it made me want to go and do some more research because I missed out on the fact that she was on the forefront in the 70s of the women's movement.
We had been lied to.
And we'd been lied to.
The patriarchy had lied to us about Gloria Allred.
Yeah.
They had brainwashed us.
Yep.
And we're going to blame our dads just because we're going to blame all men in the media because they want to paint her in a picture.
Which was wrong. The bitch has done more for LGBT rights, women's rights, rights for African Americans, whatever
minority group.
Her whole life has been dedicated to nothing but in righting injustice. That's it. And I mean, that's why we exist here. That's what dumb gay politics is all about, and that's what we do. That's what we are. And we didn't know that she was existing in that space. I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
Honestly, I am. And we should all be ashamed of ourselves for anyone who's ever said she's a money grubber, she's this, or she's just exploitative.
She gloms on to like big high profile things. It's not true.
No.
She's trying to help victims. And
yep.
The doc is good. And listen, I had my own resistance because I wanted to watch, you know, like things that are easy to watch. And I don't want to learn sometimes late on Sunday nights. But the thing is, it's Valentine's Day and there's nothing that we want to do more than talk shit about Bill Cosby. And the truth about Gloria Allred is she's all involved in the Bill Cosby shit, honey.
I know. And the only other thing I want to do on Valentine's Day more than talk shit about Bill Cosby is Mashbox.
Oh, girl. I know.
I said that because you like to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, I mean, you love but Mashbox like every day of the week. I mean, but... come on. And every holiday, especially the Jewish ones. But I'm saying for the podcast, as we're not going to Mashbox, only on the Patreon, you want to hear us Mashbox? Please go to www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics.
Can you imagine, though?
We'll be mashing what box if there was an audio? Day.
What if there was a...
What would that sound like?
If there's a podcast.
What would that sound like, please?
Or if you think that there's a fetish for people who just like to hear...
It isn't me.
Sexual things.
Unless it sounds very clean and very...
Yeah, which would be no sound.
Not
you don't
too
want
wet.
Any sound.
No, I don't want to... I don't need a dripping...
Well, no,
any,
you don't want... I mean, you don't want a... any, like a... Or a... Oh, yeah, like a banana, eating a banana. I mean, any sex sound is disgusting. So, I mean, really, at the end of the day.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? So, to listen to it would just be
well, that, horrifying. That reminds me. Mm. It's a perfect, absolutely, el perfecto transizione for something that we've learned that we really don't like listening to. And it's called whispering. And my friend Anne... Our friend who recommended Anne Morris. She reviewed fucking Fire and Douchey.
Fire and Brimstone. Fire and furries.
She recommends that we, so that we don't go insane and we can watch some reality. Well, Anne Morris recommended we do Big Brother. It has really been the... It's
savior.
Yeah, it's been the thing they give you in rehab to get you off, you know, the main drug. But the thing that Anne didn't mention is that the cornerstone, the absolute cornerstone of Big Brother is whispering. And that has been...
Oh, it's so annoying.
It's real. It's a 2-hour long show.
And the sound of it is just like, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to go back? Because you can hear I can hear my mouth. I have dry mouth.
Well, yeah. And it's like Shannon and Elizabeth. They all have veneers. Oh, this is, by the way, Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, right, right. That's I mean, the only thing they need to be whispering about is just, it needs to be like, well, I don't know, my veneers are touching my bottom.
I'm
going to
go like this. Did you bring any pills or do you have any drugs?
My gums are really inflamed. You know what I mean?
I'm
or like that.
Looking for,
or like,
or I'm going to go like this. I got rid of much is Meta World Peace getting paid? Because the thing is, he's acting like he wants to go home.
I don't know what Mark McGrath is doing, but he looks like a 7-year-old woman.
Brandy Glanville seems like she's on something and I want to have some of it. Do you think she'll give me any?
She won't. She's hoarding it. Fuck. I mean, I don't blame her.
Let's kick her off then. So it's the whole time and Julie and I are like, we'll have to turn it off.
And then someone will hear it. So it'll be like, but if all of a sudden it'll be like, well, if we don't have an alliance. Hi. Yeah. No, we were just talking about just like the show and stuff. All right. Yeah.
And Omar's like, what are you doing in here? And it's like they're talking next to the shower.
Right.
And it has been.
It's amazing. And
love it.
I got to tell you, Omarosa, I guess it's Omarosa.
I don't know if it's, it's spelled with an O.
And God knows if she heard this and she heard me say it wrong, she'd be like, well, it's, you know, the fact that you don't speak English isn't my problem. And I'd be like, oh, anything you say, I'm so entertained by it. I got to tell you, I'm so entertained by her.
I asked Julie who she wanted to win. Mark McGrath, Brandy Glanville, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, Mark McGrath.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Uh-huh.
A couple.
Oh, the other one. Mexican and lady. I found someone new to hate more than anyone I've ever hated in my life is on that show now.
But they're people.
It's not Omarosa. It's people. I'll tell you that.
Oh, because you said, I said, who do you think's going to win? And you said you wanted Omarosa
I do
win.
Want her to win. Yeah. I think that will be amazing. Everyone would die. It
oh,
would
Ross,
be a shake up.
Ross Matthews.
Oh,
is
Ross,
it.
Yes. So, and he's, you know, he now it's we're getting into a thing with him and he's get the women and he's with the women, but he's a man and it's a whole thing and he's so insulted.
Rudy Huxtable's on it.
Ugh, she's a fucking bitch.
Now, if we thought we weren't going to be able to handle the whispering because we had to dip in and dip out because we're not used to.
What's the guy's name I hate?
Who cares? No one's ever heard of him. Oh. We're not used to network shows.
Right.
Like where everything's fake and it's real tragic it's and Julie Chen's bugging on. So we kept taking a break and then we'd have to.
Hello, Big Brother.
We'd have to confirm.
I'm Julie Chen. That was the other thing I was going to do is record the.
I know. We can do that later. So that was more for fun. So
that'll be
for Patreon.
That's going
to
be for Patreon.
And we'd have to look at each other and say, do you want to do it? I don't know. Can we do it? I don't know. I don't really like this set.
Right.
And then we dip it in again until this moment happened. And we were hooked this moment that you're going to play. Julie was absolutely hooked for the gods.
Hooked, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
And in like new found, I want to say it's a love, but it's also a hate. And it's also not just a love, hate for her.
I think it's an understanding.
Maybe it's an understanding. But it's also an enjoyment of people like
and their
not
shtick?
Liking her
oh
well,
I
it's
see
her, it's like her whole everything she's created I'm just like
her whole drama
I'm entranced
her drama her world of drama right. Okay so just a quick setup is Omarosa's crying And or no, she's not crying yet. She did that with Ross.
Right.
She's just discussing.
She's talking with Shannon Elizabeth.
Right. About Trump.
Right. The White House. Everyone wants to know about the White House. She had cried. I think this was after the thing with Ross
or
before.
I don't think so. It was before.
Okay.
Because that was, this is what really bothered her.
Yeah.
So then Rudy Huxtable rolls on in looking 4 feet tall and that's fine and cute. And she sits on down. And then this is a conversation that really, we had to say much respect, mad respect.
Mad respect, O.M. Mm-hmm. Rosa.
Uh-huh.
Here it is.
O.M. Rosa.
And nobody coming out publicly to say we support her, but do you feel like you were able to understand? People from the outside looking in just saw the hate that that campaign kind of incited and that you supported that.
When you're in the middle of the hurricane, it's hard to see the destruction on the outer bands, if you understand what I'm saying. And I can say this, you know, since you're asking me, are you stood strong by somebody who you have known and have been loyal to and have known for a long time who has supported you?
Mm-hmm.
And people judged you for that, but you, only you know your inner relationship, inner workings of your relationship with Mr. Cosby.
Oh, wow.
That's the same thing with me and Mr. Trump. It's not something that can be minimized.
It's comparing apples to oranges.
But you don't see the similarity? You haven't been attacked because of your relationship.
It's a different situation because this man is running our country and being the voice of a whole country of people.
Yeah, yeah. But we held Mr. Cosby up. I mean, his impact on the Black community was just as significant. I mean, people looked up to the Cosbys. That's the same thing. I will stand firm by that.
And I will stand firm by that, too. And you're right.
If you need subtitles,
ooh,
it was Omarosa, Rudy trying to go in on Omarosa about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And Omarosa saying, but you stood by Bill Cosby.
Right. And then Rudy wanted to be like, it's like apples and oranges. It's totally different. He's the president of a country. And it's like, Bill Cosby raped over 100 women. I don't care if you're the leader of fucking goddamn the planet, the international planets. You raped over 100 women, and
also,
then Trump
could never have the impact impact on a community
that's
in
right.
8 years that that guy had
right.
in 30,
and the community, and on the entire society, and
yeah.
on the entire country, and
yeah.
quite honestly, in the world, he that show and him and everything about that was like. It blew people's minds. They gave the African American community this like. Beacon of light and hope, and it was just a million different things and role models, and
I watched it every single like Thursday or
and
whatever
not just
night
for
with
black
both
people.
My parents,
yeah, and for everybody. That was the thing about it. It was just a regular family being hilarious, gorgeous, like
yeah.
it was aspirational in every way. And for black people, it was like, yeah, that's right. That's like when that happens for any minority, and you get to be seen in a regular mm-hmm. way,
yeah,
and validated. That means more than stupid fucking Donald Trump being the president of the country, in my opinion. So, yeah, it is the same. And quite honestly, it's sort of worse because you supported Rudy, a man you knew raped people.
That were also on the show with them, too.
Like, what do you...
Like, actresses who came on that show.
And then you want to judge her? Like, you can't be judged. You can't...
Mm-mm.
You can't judge. That's the problem with judging, even though I do it and I live to do it.
We try not to be hypocrites, even though we probably sometimes are, but not to that degree.
No,
I would hope.
Right. I would hope so, too. And at least try and when you realize you are one, you have to at least admit it. But the amount of hypocrisy there was crazy. And that's where Omarosa shines like a fucking goddamn star.
Thank you, Anne. We're loving Big Brother. Let's do Eye of the Shitstorm.
Okay.
You should take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some fuck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
All right, so this week there were lots of shit nobules flying around the shitstorm. There were blocked memo nobules and infrastructure nobules, government shutdown nobules. But swirling around at the center of it all was Trump's top aide and staff secretary, Rob Nobule Porter. Turns out, Rob Porter is a big old wife beater.
Aw, crazy.
Wow.
So apparently the position of staff secretary is huge, even though I had never heard of it. Mm-hmm. They work so closely with the president. I mean, it's their like basically it's their main assistant. And they are privy to every single secret paper, document, meeting, every single mm-hmm. thing. And this dude, Rob Porter, since he's a on-the-record wife beater, never had proper security clearance because he never passed the flipping fucking FBI background check.
Right. And then they want to act like no one knew until Tuesday.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, in the last year, every single piece of paper that Donald Trump like looks
top,
at.
Top secret.
Top secret. So if it like the number, like the blueprints come in for the underground nuclear warhead / torture chamber, Rob Porter is wrote up the memo and gave it to him and looked at it and showed him.
It's like, oh, there was a brush with ISIS at the subway station.
Right.
And it's like, don't tell anyone that we got rid of that thing right away.
Right.
So basically, right. Like Julie said, he resigned. Everybody, the shit hit the fan on Tuesday, and then he officially resigned on Wednesday. So on Tuesday, the Daily Mail published a story about him having been abusive to his two ex-wives. They had proof of like a restraining order, also photos of this wife with like three different photos of her with a black eye. But then the craziest part was that the FBI and the White House knew that he was accused of this abuse, and they still hired him. I mean, the FBI's known since last January, and definitely... John Kelly has known since like mid-2018.
They just see it as an annoyance. Just, yeah, I guess it's just like, well, he was accused of it, but I mean, ugh, oh well. I was accused of, you know, picking my nose in the foyer of the.
They're like,
the same
who else
thing.
Are we going to hire? And of course, he worked for Orrin Hatch, who's fucking.
Oh God,
God.
He's
I know
a piece
he's
of shit.
Definitely
of
probably
he's
killed
a
his wife.
He's a literally, but like they don't care. They don't. They're all wife beaters.
No, I know. Well, literally, Trump.
I mean, literally.
Trump was, the cops were called on him. I'm like, there's men I know that are like completely awful. Like, I mean, my own dad, just kidding. Huh? Nobody is. And there's like people that I think are literal assholes, like dicks, who will never ever have the cops called on them. Like,
yeah, well, when you constantly try and ass fuck your wife or you try and do that to girls after one and another to the point where it's like abusive. Yeah. That's a form of abuse.
I mean, the fact that Trump has had the cops called on him for domestic abuse.
His wife said he raped her, and then she took it back because she doesn't want to get into that with him because, you know, they're the money and they're the powerful.
Yeah.
I don't mind Melania. She's the first lady. You know, he don't rape me. He don't. He make love to me first of all.
So I thought that it was weird that he didn't look familiar. Like, I was like, who's this guy who doesn't look familiar?
And then another guy, didn't write his name down. He just got fired or he had to resign too.
It was another.
For wife beating.
Yeah, another aide. The same, another aide, whatever. Same
they're
thing.
All
oh, it's just,
disgusting.
It was his speech writer. So, of all people. So, but I'm like, he doesn't look familiar. And then I realized, oh, like the people with the shadiest shit to hide, with the most shit to hide is who they keep.
In
like
the
in the shadows, because we hadn't seen Hope Hicks. We literally the whole first part of the year went by with this beautiful woman working for him. No one ever saw her on any fucking camera. And then all of a sudden, all her shady dealings come out, and then it's like, oh, she's there. By the way, she's dating this guy.
Of course she is, and she defended him. I mean, when they show sometimes Hope Hicks wears like a dramatic shoulder sweater, like that puffs out a lot. You know what I mean? She loves to just stand out in a meeting.
She loves making a statement like fucking Melania.
Yes, she does. And other statements such as, my boyfriend never beat three other women. And if he did, it doesn't matter. Honestly, it's fine.
I mean,
don't really mind.
What would you do if you liked someone and then you find out like a very...
That's hard.
I mean, it is.
Well, especially when they don't do it to you. Because I mean, what they're all... A lot of the rationale... And Sarah Huckabee Sanders has said it too. It's like, we don't know what he did at home. It's like, we're not part of that. We know him from work. At work, he's never beaten nobody. He's nice. And you know what I mean? He's nice to me. He says morning. He says, sorry that both your eyes are different colors. I don't care. You look pretty in your dress. I think it's cool that you wear pearls. I think it's nice that your body's like a tank. Everything about you is nice. Your hair looks good. I said, thanks, Rob. Moving on. Next question. You know what I mean? Like, and of course he's going to be nice at work. That's usually how they are.
And you can see it in someone's eyes. You know what I mean? But you can see the kookiness. And by the way, he's like Mormon. So the thing was that, for those of you who don't know, one wife, they got married like right out of college, and immediately on the honeymoon, he's like throwing her on the bed and putting his knees on her arms and like choking her out and force fucking her. And she's like, oh my God, like on the honeymoon, she's horrified. And this is the one who got the black eye. But throughout,
I mean, normally people don't even have sex on their honeymoon.
Exactly.
Or their wedding night. Come on.
So she goes to the Mormon church several times.
Oh, they're like, well, listen, you gotta just take it. That's what wives do. Just hang in there and eventually he'll get tired.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. You know what? Jesus, God, Lord, the Father. Let me look in this hat. Boop, boop, boop. John Smith. Yum, yum, yum. Hat. Golden tinkles. Bam, put your white things on. Like, I can't. I just
Cody
can't.
And Janelle and...
yeah, Lord, the Heavenly Father, let me ask you a question. Is it okay to beat wives? And the answer is obviously yes. Just don't drink and you'll be fine. You know what I mean? You'll be fine.
So then the other wife... So this lady finally gets away. And then the other wife, same shit. She's the one who had ever a restraining order put out on him.
Right.
He punched through a glass window and then she's like, it's a wrap. I'm not into you. I'm not feeling it. Take your angry eyes and your plural marriage and get the fuck out of
your angry eyes. He'd also always apparently cry and apologize. So that was his manipulative ways, is that he would make them feel sorry for him because he was so out of control. He was so sorry.
But that woman, when they were in a fight, she just was like, she was never going to put up with that. And she's like, never thought it was going to go to where it was. And she's like, and she like leaves the room and gets in the shower and he rips her out of the shower and like is screaming at her, shaking her, and she's naked and dripping wet. And that's when probably the whole time as she's shaking in slow motion, she's thinking, you are so fucked. You'll be lucky if I don't take a knife and slit your throat tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, it's all I could do probably not to kill him. So she tries to file for separation right then and he just won't leave. So she has to like get the cops involved.
This is where I often wonder about a dad. Like when I think, you know... Because I would talk to when I, it's funny because I was in New York and talked to that producer Brent guy, and he was telling me how his wife and she was sexually harassed a million times and how he wanted to go and like go kill them. And I was like, yeah, like even though guys do it, when they are protective of you, they will kill somebody
because
they're men. So, and I understand that. I feel like that too.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, if that happened, even to you, if you came and were like, whether it's somebody at work,
I have to
whatever,
hide things from you because you'll go off on people.
Like, if somebody were to rip you naked out of the shower, they'd be dead. So anyone listening, they'd be dead.
Well,
they'd be dead.
I think the first girl, I think both of her parents were deceased.
Oh, that's
so
sad.
So I think she was really lost and felt really alone and then was going to the Mormon church and stuff. And then a third girl, a girlfriend... who didn't ever name, no one knows her name. She came forward too. The FBI had three women on the record.
Jebedina?
Exactly. Three women on the record saying that this is how he is. Then John Kelly, who's known since mid last year, comes on and says,
he's really
Rob Porter is a man of true integrity and honor, and I can't say enough good things about him. He's a friend, a confidant, and a trusted professional. I am proud to serve alongside him. Just in case you guys don't know, John Kelly is the White House chief of staff. Everyone's now on John Kelly. When's John Kelly getting fired? Watch.
I mean, he has showed his. We all kind of had high hopes for him.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because he's sort of like he seemed rational. But he's shown his true colors to be just racist and sexist, and
going against DACA.
Beyond. He said that the beyond the 600,000 people that registered for DACA, the other 900,000 or whatever, were too lazy to sign up.
Exactly.
I mean,
he's like, sorry, they were too lazy to get off the couch.
Oh my God.
All right, buddy. Okay, so then after that happens and everyone's like, fucking, what is John Kelly doing? Then after the speechwriter dude gets canned.
Uh-huh.
What I love is having a guy who beats his wife write all my speeches. Now that is when you know the heart's coming through.
Why doesn't it?
So that guy gets canned, and then Trump just can't take it because you know he probably liked a speechwriter, and he liked Rob Porter. So he tweets, Trump.
Oh, yeah.
People's lives are being shattered and destroyed by mere allegations. Some are true and some are false. Some are old and some are new. Because by the way,
some are old and some are blue.
Yeah.
Some are yellow, some are green. Some will walk and some will wean. Some will fly and some will
try.
Some will sing and some will die. But most of all, what I say to you is when you beat a lady, good for you.
That was
You're
nice.
Hired.
You can always do what's his name on the spot. Oh, Dr. Seuss. You can do a Dr. Seuss, an evil, dark Dr. Seuss poem right on the spot. You did it like a few days ago.
I did?
With me. Like it was about when you, where you'll go. It was like a thing to me, but it was like kind of evil and dark. Yeah. And I was like, God, that was good.
Oh, the places you'll go.
Well, so he said, some are old and some are new, as if it matters. I actually don't care how old it is.
Also,
really, I just don't care.
If you know one allegation is true, which means it's not an allegation, it's a fact, yeah, then aren't you turned off? He actually beat one of the wives, but the other one, he didn't really beat her. He pushed her, or it was a mutual thing, or they had some weird fight thing. But meanwhile, you know that he did it to one of them, or two of them. Well, let's just say let's just say one time he punched a girl in the face. Is that not enough?
Yeah, plenty. Ugh. And then he said there is no recovery for someone falsely accused. Life and career are gone. Is there no such thing any longer as due process? It's like, is there any recovery for anyone who's been punched in the face by their husband?
Exactly.
Also, we're not worried about due process. I swear to God, if one more person says that, it's like someone saying, isn't there a such thing as putting salt on the meatloaf anymore? And it's like, okay, well, if other people put salt in the meatloaf, we're not in a cooking competition. Our cooking's not being judged. Like, we're not in a court of fucking law. We're sitting here hearing about something. It's not up to us to enact due process.
And also, why do they never believe the women? I'm always one for, and I know that I'm extreme, but it's very few far and in between. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But if somebody comes out and is like, he hit me or beat me or whatever, that's just embarrassing. That's humiliating. Nobody wants to say that and admit that you were beaten.
Certainly not
after, or pulled out of a shower.
You don't keep it a secret for 20 years to then do it.
To then be like, what? Don't hurt this guy's reputation, whatever. Fuck that guy. I don't give a fuck. Every time, and I don't care what it is, but for the most part, I'll believe the women because it's just like that.
Well, yeah.
That's not something anyone wants to do, but none of these guys.
They never do, and they never will, and
it's fucking bullshit.
Now it's just like, so that's the eye of the shitstorm, because everybody's just, no one really knows how many awful, disgusting, abusive rapists this motherfucker has to stand behind before it's too many. Yeah. And by the way, it'll never be too many, because it's not in the Constitution. It's not in the 27th Amendment to be, we don't support rapists.
Well, I also think we're dealing with a fundamental disagreement on, I truly, and I think this of John Kelly, of Donald Trump, of Mike Pence. Name any of the guys that are in the main
Michael
circle.
Flynn,
I don't think they think rape is a thing. Unless you're in an alleyway and you're a white woman raped by a black man.
Yeah.
I don't think that they think that any of that is a crime.
Yeah, no, and they certainly just don't care. It's not even an issue. It's like when someone kills the bug rather than just tries to sweep it out the door or eats meat.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like,
right,
that's just
nothing.
A thing if that's up to each person, if they want to do it
or not. If they're in a relationship, exactly. And if the woman doesn't like it, she needs to just talk to God and deal with it and whatever. And it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Well, now let's, you know what we should do?
I need to kill. I want to kill.
Let's continue our talk about abusive assholes in the ladies'
room. I can't wait. This segment is called The Ladies' Room. It's just ladies talking about latest stuff. And today we're joined by one of my oldest and dearest friends.
Turns out Julie has a lot of famous friends, like real ones that she's been friends with forever, like since college. Uh-huh. And this particular friend is a fashion branding maven, an actress, and a straight up voiceover legend, because I'm dead serious. You've heard her sexy voice on your TV so many damn times. The second she starts talking, you're going to become instantly aroused with the overwhelming urge to buy tampons or Diet Coke or medicine.
I know. I want to get Viagra or whatever. She's been in 900 things, but right now she's destroying the game, playing Pharah in the video game Overwatch. That's right, you heard it correctly. The cast of the game are the Beatles of the video game world, and for anyone who knows video games, you know that industry is huge, and the fans are rabid.
But she's here today to tell a story, a legendary story that started with her, but has been told by us and repeated by us so many times that Julie actually overheard someone else. This is true. She overheard someone else telling it as if it was their story.
Yep. Yep.
Sorry, sweetie, but that's just not going to cut it. Nope. So before it becomes a gerbil in the ass urban legend, we're getting it on the record straight from the source.
Like Brandy said, most of our 14 listeners have probably already heard me tell the story. I told it on the Gayest of All Time podcast. I told it on our Patreon podcast. And it's my favorite story of all time. And I'll always, I don't care if I keep retelling it to my own self that wrong. I don't care. It's my favorite story ever. But no one tells it better than our guest. She is the original source of the story and a master goddamn storyteller. So without further fucking ado, let's welcome my good friend, Jen Cohn. Hey, Jen!
That might have been the best setup I've ever had ever in my life. Thank you so much. That was so awesome.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I'll email it to you.
I mean, and it is true. And we have called you a master goddamn storyteller. Yes. And because we do talk about you often on the podcast. And we say that you're a master storyteller. And I have told the story 1,000 freaking times. I mean, it's true.
That just makes me so happy.
All right. Well,
so funny.
Now, Jen and I have known each other since college and all that stuff, and that's the background, and that's just, it's been a million years. Now, Jen and I know, have a mutual
friend. And Jen knows Anthony, right?
Jen knows Anthony. Okay. Yeah, Jen knows, she knows everybody. Now, Jen, through Jen.
I know everyone.
That was just relevant because he was on this, too.
Oh, right.
So, all right, yeah.
Okay, so, we're not going to, this person will remain somewhat anonymous.
Who we're going protect to the names of the innocent
who we are choosing not to name.
Yes, because
those in the know will know who it is.
Right. And we want, and we do want to say this person is, she's a legend in her own right.
Yes.
She's so unique and so cool. And, you know, I mean,
she is fabulous. She is absolutely beyond. And she is the definition of character. She takes it, but like takes it to 11. She's incredible.
Yes. She takes it to 11.
I even know about her mom.
Yeah,
that's how legendary
her
she
mother is.
Is
a legend. There was a legend competition between the two of them. It was which one was bigger. They were incredible.
I mean, okay, so now I met this person through Jen. She's your original friend, right, Jen?
She is originally my friend.
Yes.
And the way that we met was we met in our acting program together, and she came in sophomore year when I was a sophomore and already like entrenched in the program. And she was quite the diva and quite the bombshell. Mm-hmm. And she very quickly singled me out and said to me, she invited me to lunch if I wanted to go to lunch with her. And we're college students. So we go to like this divey Irish place and we like order Caesar salads and glasses of wine. And as I'm about to order, she looks at me and says, you know, I really want to fuck you. And I say, oh, I'll have the Caesar salad. And that was it. Like that was, and we never had sex, but that's how we became friends.
Oh my God. Oh,
that was our
my
was
God.
Intro. I really want to fuck you. I'll have the Caesar salad.
Who doesn't want to be friends with somebody who tells them that? Wow. Right. Well, that's, and only she could say that and you'd still be friends.
Exactly. I really want to fuck you. It was great.
Amazing.
We actually just reminisced about it. We just were talking. I was saying that I'd made friends with someone. She asked if they'd asked me if I wanted to fuck them over Caesar salad.
I mean, that's like amazing. Yeah. Amazing. All right. Yeah. So then I met this person through Jen and I ended up having a class. Now, the first legendary story of this person is we had, I believe it was world drama class. And within that class, this is where I heard her say this, but you tell, please tell, you know what I'm talking about.
I was not, wait, was I in the room? You know what? It's one of those stories that goes back so far.
I know, believe me, I know. I was in the room. I can tell you for sure I was in the room because I remember.
I was in the room, but it came back so many times.
Exactly.
It's a good story.
I mean, because it's amazing. And I remember also in the room was Imani Henry. And that's the only other person I remember was Imani Henry.
Oh, I was
Henry.
In this room then. I was in that class with Imani Henry and this person.
Yes.
I was. Oh, that's so funny.
But this story, which precedes the next story, was one of the first things, like it was one of Julie and my like first, it was like one of the first stories she told me and I was so obsessed with it, like it was like the funniest thing I'd ever heard. I mean, and we talk, we've been like, we'll 10 say, years we've been talking about just with me
and,
only.
And we'll say, so go ahead and tell you tell it from how you remember
from my memory of this story. We were talking about theater and about how inaccessible theater had become in the United States and how expensive a theater ticket was. And, you know, and but that it's throughout all countries and all cultures, one must go to theater for enlightenment and for political discourse. And this person's hand goes up and says, you know, when I lived in London, England, even the peasants can afford to go to theater.
I mean,
and then it brought the room down.
I mean, this
everybody freaked the fuck out. Course. I mean, so unbelievable.
We're not in college in 1712. I mean, I'm not going to tell people what year we're in college, but I mean, it is this century. So for a person who's 19 years old to say the word peasants is beyond.
Even the peasants can afford.
So we. Anyway, yeah. From now, from that, so since I've met Brandy from the day one telling that story, we will on occasion, I'll just turn to her and be like, even the peasants love the theater.
Yeah.
And whatever. Like, it's like a thing. The peasants loving the theater is like a thing. So, okay, so this person, peasants love the theater. I want to fuck you over Caesar salad. Obviously, yep. Amazing, amazing, amazing. All right. Now.
I'm really dear. Yes.
And dear. And a good friend, obviously. And I know yes, and you've really, you're really, you know, yep. Okay. So,
yes, okay.
We then learn, so then, you know, years go on, blah, 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 blah. So, as many
which
of us
leads
know,
to,
which leads
okay,
to,
so leads to that Julie and I were both young actresses, performers in the mid, late 90s.
Not
and
me.
And we were living in New York.
Well, you, oh, I was.
You were an actress.
I was. That's
it's
true.
It's just
I was.
Weird to hear that right. You're an actress.
Comedian, actor, yeah, actress.
That's
right.
True. Oh, I see. You're talking about. Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah. And at that time, mid-late 90s, New York City, what was filming? Because there weren't that many things filming in New York.
No.
But one of the things that was filming was the Cosby Mysteries. And so many, many young ladies looking to get their SAG card and looking to get their big break would get hired to do a cameo or a week worth of scenes or whatever on the Cosby Mysteries.
That was a real show, everybody, the Cosby Mysteries.
I had never heard of it. But it's like how everyone in New York does... Ding, ding. What's that show you like?
Law and Order.
Yeah, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, Cosby Mysteries was a rite of passage. So as a result, stories started to emerge then, but not very many, like a couple. And then after the whole Cosby thing, the lid blew off of it. Everybody came out and told their stories. And I alone have heard 5 stories.
God damn it.
So, literally 5 girls, 4 of whom I know pretty well, 1 of whom I don't know very well. But there are 5 stories so far. And the best of all of them belongs to this person.
Yes. Okay. So please, we're in the, we, you know, we're talking, it's Me Too. We're in our Me Too moment. We're in our whatever. Yeah. We want to hear all the stories.
And you obviously. Know, and for the listeners, it's like, it does sort of appear that Cosby has gotten to like shirk back into the shadows.
Yes, yeah.
And we need him to come right back on out next to Harvey Weinstein. And let's not forget.
Yeah, let's not exactly. Hashtag never forget. Yeah. Hashtag Bill Cosby's a rapist. Yeah. So
right. I mean, you know just because he got off in that first case does not mean that he gets off. It's unbelievable. And what's incredible is that now, if you look at people's Facebook pages when everything first blew up, almost every third person was like, yeah, that happened to my friend too. Yeah, no, that happened to my friend too. Yeah, I mean, it's staggering what the numbers were. The people who came forward were the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
It's frightening what went on with
crazy.
That.
Crazy. All right, so tell.
So
go,
the
please.
Stories yes. I know, the way it would go down. So this it's a recurring theme. But girl number one, who was a very beautiful, lovely actress on the verge of breaking through, gets invited up to Mr. Cosby's dressing room for lunch.
Mr. Cosby.
And over the course of that week, every day she's invited to lunch after they've shot their scenes. Oh. And he wants to talk to her about her career. And he's giving her wine with her lunch. And they're talking about the career. And they need to read together. They need to read scenes to go over it. But she needs to make it sound sexier. She needs to make it sound drunk. Have some more wine. Then they need to do these acting exercises that involve him rubbing his hands all over her body. Oh, and this was also like a recurring thing. Yeah. So that, and they go through that and the girls are young, they're babies and he's Bill Cosby and he's a huge star. So he's rubbing her hands all over her body. And with girl number one, after the lunches, after the hand rub, he takes her into the bathroom and says, wouldn't it be great if you came to my house, you know, you'll come, we'll work on your career. We'll talk about your career, but you'll come and take a shower and we'll blow your hair straight. Let's see what you look like with your hair blown straight. And he's pulling her hair back. And she immediately realizes that something really screwy is going on here and says, why don't I just show up on set tomorrow with my hair blown straight? And sort of gives her this withering look and dismisses her, and it's game over. So that one's out.
Wow.
Now, she says that she spoke to her friend, who's someone who I know a little bit, and at the same, oh, and he also would tell them, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone that I'm giving you special attention. If anyone knows that I'm giving you special attention, then they're going to be jealous and whatever. But she and this other girl who I know peripherally discussed it, and she went through exactly the same thing, but she did go back for the blown hair. And needless to say, right, exactly.
I would want the free blowout.
Right, right. Who knows? He might have been a great hairdresser. But he might be very good at this. He did it a lot. So with her, she went back, and at the time, he kept his Quaaludes or whatever his thing was that he drugged the girls with, he kept it in this bottle of cognac. And with the girl who went back with him, she went through the whole same grooming process, then went back to his house, and he gave her the wine and then the cognac. And then she doesn't remember anything else. She woke up with him, like, pushing her clothes back on and pushing her into a cab. So, like, a horror. Yeah. Girl two, it's like a horror.
Oh, my
Girl
God.
Three, also, dressing room, being groomed, the lunches, I'm interested in your career, let's talk about your career, act drunk, have another glass of wine, let me see how you are when you act drunk, read this more sexy, you know, take your makeup off, I would like you to look more natural. And he gave her the cognac in the dressing room. Oh. And she realized that she starts going under in the dressing room, and she had this amazing reaction, this like self-preservation instinct kicked in, where she starts doing, oh, Jesus Lord, help me, Lord, Jesus act,
whoa,
which apparently really freaked him out, and then
that's
started
good.
Talking about how her dad went to college with him,
oh.
And so that they played ball together, hallelujah, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that he pushed her the hell out of
that's
the dressing
weird.
Room.
Yeah, like, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, out of the dressing room.
Wow. Gone. Good one.
Now, girl number four. Another one. Lovely girl. Come to my dressing room. Grooming her. Well, let's talk about your career. Wine with lunch. Da-da-da. And with her, he wanted to celebrate what a great job she had done on the show. So he said, why don't I send you and a friend out to dinner on me to celebrate it? And the day of, he calls her on her cell phone and says, you know what? Let's change a plan. Why don't you come to my house and we'll all have dinner, implying that his wife was home, implying that, you know, we'll celebrate together.
Mm. Right.
She and her friend get there. Needless to say, Camille's nowhere to be found. It's just him and the housekeeper. He has the housekeeper feed them, I think, like spaghetti and wine. And so they have spaghetti and wine. He pushes more wine. And out comes the cognac.
God damn.
She has the cognac and she's totally like feeling whacked out. And she goes and excuses herself to a bathroom where she splashes some water on her face and pulls her hair out to, like, get a little bit of air. And as she goes and walks back out into the hallway, the lights go out. It's pitch black in the hallway. He pins her against the wall and goes, what'd you do to my look? Don't you ruin my look to her, because her hair had been back and looking natural and looking youthful, his whole youthful, natural
yeah.
thing.
Oh, my so God.
She screams, grabs her friend, run the hell out of the house. They talk about what a creep he is, and he, for weeks, keeps calling her house, telling her roommate that she needs to come back to his house to practice technique. He has that kind of balls. Like, she ran screaming from his house, drugged, and she should practice technique.
Wow.
Which leads us to girl number five.
I didn't remember this whole thing with the look and the hair and the makeup.
I hadn't heard that either.
I look youthful, look natural, no makeup, wear jeans, wear a t-shirt, pull your hair back. He had this whole thing, this whole
hair,
picture.
And I liked he wanted the straight to hair, I guess.
Like, and he needed him to look so young.
Friend,
right. Ugh. Yes.
Our wonderful friend, who is, you know, is getting her SAG card through this opportunity. I remember her calling me at the time and saying, Jenny, you know, it's amazing. Bill Cosby has taken a real interest in my career. Mr. Cosby is very interested. And I've had lunch in his dressing room several times. And, you know, we have family friends in common. I'm sure he's really interested. He's invited me back to his house.
Now,
what I have not mentioned is that this friend had been to rehab like twice already. like in high school. So she has the tolerance of a fucking rhinoceros. Like, she's got a tolerance like nobody's business. Like, not incomparable tolerance. This is an important detail.
Yes.
So he says to her, come over to the house for dinner. This is after the acting exercises and the dressing
room.
But
wait, so I'm just getting, though, that she lived in London, apparently, and she'd already been to rehab. So she's clearly like a sophisticated...
Yeah. Like, she is a worldly,
yes,
a worldly daughter of wealthy parents, yeah, has been around the block, very interesting life, interesting
family. It's like a 40-year-old that in a 19-year-old's body that he thinks he's going to come over there and pull your hair back. But meanwhile, she's like a damn grown woman.
She's but she also is incredibly naive because she doesn't recognize any of these things. She assumes, of course he'd be very interested in my career. Who wouldn't be very interested? But, of course. So... Mr. Cosby's invited her back to the house. And she goes back to his house, and he's told her to wear the jeans and the t-shirt, no makeup, pull her hair back, look natural. It's just the two of them. They have dinner. They have a bunch of wine. They read some scripts and they talk about her career. And they go through the whole routine, and then he cracks out the cognac. It's 150-year-old cognac. It's the best cognac, and she loves cognac. So he gives her a cognac. He gives her a cognac, and she downs it, and then just keeps talking to him like a normal person. Totally fine. So he looks at her, and he pours her another cognac, I'm sure a smaller one, and she fucking throws it back, no problem. Like an elephant would have gone down at this point, but no problem.
And she just keeps talking. Oh, God. Sorry, go ahead.
She's just talking, and she's talking about her career and what her aspirations are for the future and what kind of roles she's like. I can't even imagine what his face looked like, because he was afraid if he gave her any more, he's going to kill her. So she walks out. She leaves. She leaves unscathed. He invites her back again, with the jeans, the t-shirt, no makeup, hair pulled back, look natural, look youthful. Same whole routine. Dinner, the wine, more wine, more wine. Out comes the cognac. Gives her a cognac. Nothing. Doesn't drop a syllable. Doesn't slur a word. Like, totally fine. Second cognac again. I mean, I can't even imagine. How many girls has he brought down with this cognac? Yeah. And like, she cannot be touched. She cannot be toppled. She's human. She's superhuman.
And he's having to hear that, so far into the career too.
Oh yeah, he's having
never
to listen
had
to her
to get that right. Far.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He turns to her. He leans in. He goes to make out with her. She pulls away. And she says, oh, no. I'm sorry, Mr. Cosby. I'm just not interested in you that way. I'm very flattered, but thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Cosby. And gets up.
Oh, no.
Walks out. And moves to L.A. the next day.
And
that is the end of her tale. So when all of this went down... Her initial response was, Mr. Cosby was nothing but supportive and wonderful to me in my early career. He was, you know, he was a wonderful influence and friend. And I was like, babe, he was grooming you. He was trying to knock you down.
I mean,
you told me about the cognac. And I remember the story so vividly. And I just, you know, to her, it ended in a pass that she rejected.
Right, but right. It wasn't anything major. It wasn't some drugging, roofied rape situation. But no.
Are you kidding?
No, thank you, Mr. Cosby. Just not interested in you that way.
I'm just not that interested in you, Mr. Cosby.
Oh,
no, thank
so
you.
Good. It's so good. It's so good. I wish that, like, she's the one I really want to hear. I want her amongst all those other women being like, well, he tried, but I can't be taken down. I'm an inhuman.
I tell it better than she does. She says at this point, because I told
I'm
her
sure
I
you do.
The story.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I love that story. Oh.
It's so good. We love it, too. I mean, we fucking love it, too. And did you audition for that show, too? Were you ever having to deal with any of that?
You know, I think I was just too Jewy and schnozzy for that. Like,
yeah.
I was not
they wanted,
ingenuely
like, a wasp.
Looking enough.
Yeah. Oh, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I knew who was involved in that was like tall and fair, or like they had a different look. Like, maybe I would have been the Yenta face on the corner.
Yenta face
on the corner, but like, right. Yeah, I wasn't the type for that.
Right. Now, you told me, or didn't tell me, but I want to hear this, too, because as we're just like the fact. So for anybody who doesn't know, we were just talking before, too. Bill Cosby, in case you're wondering what's going on now, motherfucker got was a mistrial. They debated for 52 hours and 6 days and still couldn't come up with a conclusion, so he got off.
Because there was only one person that was allowed to even
she
do
was the
it.
One person who's the limitations yeah. who could actually sue him. So they still couldn't come to any conclusion at all, because I think also in those trials, like, they can only deal with that one person.
Yeah.
They can't think about the 2,000 other women that he
raped.
So he's off. He's performing again. Jen, you read, right? Wasn't he just performing again?
I just read that. I think it was either January 22nd or 24th.
Yes.
He reopened his tour. And
oh, I see it.
Another
yeah.
article said that it was a strategic move, that it's strategy because they want to reopen the case. And
oh.
I guess the more he pleads innocence and makes it look like he's back to business as usual, that it'll appear that he's not in hiding.
And what about Yale? Yale's not taking away that thing that he never should have had in the first place.
Now, I didn't read the whole article, but I saw that Yale is not taking away his honorarium degree, his honorary degree,
which made everyone call him Dr. Cosby.
Right.
As if he had fucking earned a doctorate. A tool.
Right.
Right. Well, he is a fucking, he loved getting fake college. He got several, I think. More than just Yale.
I'm told a bunch of them were rescinded. A bunch of them they took back. But it sounds like there's a new group that hasn't done anything yet, and now they're not taking them back. And I don't know.
He's acting victim-y, too. They try to walk him through they walk him to the courtroom. He has to hold two people. He acts like he can't see.
He said he couldn't do the trial because he was legally blind.
He's a fucking lying piece of shit, and I hope he gets murdered in a fire. I fucking would love to kill him.
I know. I mean, we're among many. There are so many who feel this way. It's just disgusting.
It really is disgusting. I'm just looking at a thing now online that says the show that he went back, he went to perform in Philadelphia. I guess he was a drummer back in the day, and that before he became a comedian, he was a drummer. So he was he performed this last show at a jazz club, and an 11-year-old asked him, who he is and what he does, and he told the kid, "I used to be a comedian."
Are you a victim? Are you a victim, Bill Cosby? Are you a villain? You used to be a comedian.
Fucking, you need
and
to
now,
get raped.
And now Jimmy Kimmel made it on your hit list.
Jen, you watched the... So you saw Seeing All Red.
Yes.
I mean, we're just talking about... It's the ladies' room. We're talking about lady stuff. You know what I mean? It's lady stuff time.
Yeah.
I fucking loved that goddamn documentary.
Too.
And I didn't know... For anyone who's listening, you should see Seeing All Red. What you think you know about Gloria Allred, you don't know. And I was like fucking goddamn moved.
I was so moved. I was so moved. I mean, she's on such a mission. I really know. I was so blown away.
Her life's work has really been buried.
Yes, it's been buried.
Yeah.
Her life's work has been buried by people like Jimmy fucking Kimmel,
right?
Who, by the way, fuck you, Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. This is Julie Goldman speaking. These other girls don't feel this way. But
I love Jimmy Kimmel, but that was such a total misreading of her intentions. It's funny. Like my husband was saying, because I said I wanted to watch this, and he said, "But isn't she just this like loudmouth who'll go for anything that gets her lots of attention?" And I said, "Well, that's what the point of this documentary is. Is it's supposed to really clarify what her background is and what her intentions are?" And I wish that she was better understood. You know, I don't know that there was a platform or grounds for her to get to say her story before now.
Right.
I don't know that it was safe for someone like her to say, "This is why I am doing what I'm doing. This is why I am who I am. I'm completely self-made. I'm completely self-created. And I have a mission."
And the mission was probably a little, I think, well, first of all, people think that because it's sexism, patriarchy, and also like not even meaning to, or it's just so deeply rooted. But the stuff that she does on television, at least what I got from that documentary, she was represented a lot of those women in Bill Cosby. She represented Amber Frye from,
Scott Peterson.
She represented certainly some people who, and listen, I watched those press conferences. I was like, I wish these women would stop being fucking crying and they're acting like idiots and this is bad and it's not making them look good and makes her look terrible. However, she didn't take any money for any of that. That's not where she was making money. She wasn't on TV making money. And people all think, she's doing it for the money. She wasn't making any money.
Yeah.
Right. There was no money to be made. She paid for all of that out of her own pocket.
Yes.
She paid for all those press conferences. She was just trying to create social change. I mean, it's incredible.
The money.
She knew that there was no case. Like, yep. She took them on knowing mm-hmm. that they were beyond the statute of limitations, yep. that there was no case.
Yep.
But what could she do? She could bring it to light, and visibility. She could potentially try to get the government to change right. the statute of limitations laws. Right. I mean, that.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that all of those women that she parades around, whether yeah. it's divorce or rape or this or that, I think in
workplace,
her mind,
inequality.
Right. That stuff where she's not making money, that stuff is all about visibility to her, because that's the only thing that will get visible. No one's going right. to put you on a press conference when you're collecting money for five people who didn't get paid unemployment insurance or whatever, because that's where that law firm's making their money.
And Nicole Brown Simpson.
Right. Oh, Nicole Brown Simpson.
She's like a big with victims. I mean, that yes, nobody victims. Had ever done that. You
but
know?
That bringing, right. But people like misjudging that and making it about women. I do think there's a huge thing where it's not just her, but it's because she has women as her clients. People are like, these shrill
it's just
feminists.
Eye roll.
Oh, God. Look. You were raped by your husband. You can't get raped by your husband, or just right. deal with it. Divorce. You dumb women. Whatever. And just
which made me love seeing that she has two male partners, that her partners in her law firm are both men who just totally follow her lead.
Yes. Oh, that's my God. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
I feel well, you got to
really
tell
see her and recognize her for being like the leader that she is and respect what she does. And even when they didn't understand what she was doing or why, just went with it because yeah. they said, OK, she's got a mission. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
right.
incredible
that she and also they were like, you just don't. Also, she just is so powerful. And yeah. she's so like, and she did seem so like she's tiny. But God damn, she just yeah. seems so she's just so in control.
Yeah, I found well, it. I actually found it very freeing that she for me personally, that she honestly doesn't truly authentically seem like it matters to her that she's misunderstood.
Yeah.
And that's like usually a thing that haunts all of us.
Right.
Like two people in our lives that misunderstand us. Meanwhile, yeah. the whole world is misunderstanding her, and she doesn't give a fuck, because even though it's not feminist to even say, and she's super feministy, it's like she's kind of like a real dude. She's like a man. She's so... She so lacks the trappings
yes.
of like, you know, what haunts us as
yes.
women.
Yes.
She's
yes.
just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. From the beginning.
Does not care. I know. It was so refreshing.
Like, who but knew? Yeah. No, right? Yeah. But yeah. that made me think so.
And was
yeah,
it Gloria Steinem who said? Gloria Steinem was saying how that she's afraid of confrontation, that she
yes.
doesn't like confrontation,
yes.
but that Allred like loves
thrives
it.
She in it.
Jumps right into it. She thrives yeah. off of it.
She thrives in it.
That's it. So to not give a fuck and love confrontation, I mean, those are, I don't know. I'm not capable. I can do
no.
a confrontation, but I care.
Of course. Oh my God, I did a show the other night and one guy wasn't, I got nothing with one guy and it's ruined my week. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why didn't he like me?
It wasn't even a thing. He said one sentence.
Yeah, he said one sentence and I'm gone. I mean, it's not, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course we care, but she yeah. really, she is a fucking hero. She's an inspiration. I didn't realize how much she's done for women and black people and minorities and people who are injustice. She only really legitimately authentically cares about injustice. So Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. you get back at the fucking.
You didn't
walk
tell
thing.
Them what tell them what Jimmy Kimmel said.
He said that she like why he was who was
talking
to
Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher. And he was just like, what? She made a deal with the devil.
She's about Bill Cosby's victims.
Oh, yeah. How would you even believe her? She made a deal with the devil. That's what he said, didn't he?
About he
That's
said,
insane.
He's Yeah, he's like, Gloria Allred's representing her. So how do we know what she...
Oh,
we
right.
can't believe what she word she says.
It's, right.
Yeah. And then Bill Maher goes, well, they can't all be lying.
Exactly. I mean, even Bill Maher knows the guy fucks hookers. He knows, yeah. okay? Like,
yeah.
the guy is right. fucking on the right side of the law. Sorry, Jimmy Kimmel. You're such a great guy. Fuck off. I'm so angry at him. I can't take it.
I can't help but think that Jimmy Kimmel, if he were to see this documentary, would totally take it back.
I think he would.
To.
If he knew,
I hope he does. I hope he does.
I think
and
he'd
hope
be
he
really
says
embarrassed.
Publicly. I hope he is embarrassed. And then he said he should have her on a show and talk to, I mean,
yes,
he should apologize yes. for saying that.
Yes.
He should.
You know?
I agree.
You know, but now, so we were talking about that. And then you.
Well,
which
no,
because
then that led to the Trump.
Yes, which what I was like, which I got like, what? So please.
Right, because the Trump accused. Well, there were the Trump accusers.
Oh, on that
who
movie,
were in
yeah.
the documentary.
Right. Yes.
Which reminded me, I told you this. So, I, Julie, Brandy,
yes,
I have been grabbed by the pussy in Trump Tower. I have.
What? I'm gonna play music. Wait, I gotta play some kind of music.
No. We'll play the pussy yes. song. Grab him by the pussy.
Okay.
I'm kind of
exactly.
jealous already. It's kind of like that's kind of, you know, it's like cool. It's like you have the actual thing happen in Trump Tower.
Who
literally? Literally, I had forgotten. I had totally forgotten about it. Like, completely forgot. You know, there have been enough weird things. Girl walking around the world like this shit happens. But I had totally forgotten about it until the Grum by the Pussy scandal.
How fucked up is that, by the way? By the way, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interject to you.
I was waiting for you to say.
I mean, I can't not say it, but just like the fact that you forgot that you got grabbed by the pussy because there were so many other fucking times that you've probably been demeaned or whatever. It's just like, that is so sad. That is just
shocking, right?
And,
I know.
I mean, it's horrible. It really is. It really is. I'm sorry.
It's totally de rigueur. It's like par for the course. Exactly.
Par for the course of being a lady. And I can't deal with it at all. It makes me fucking crazy.
I know. Being a chick out in the world. I know.
I mean, especially because it's never happened. Well, go ahead. Go. Sorry.
The whole grabbing by the pussy scandal hits. I'm sitting in the kitchen with Rob and I literally have the eureka moment. And I look at Rob and I go, oh my God. I said, do you know I was grabbed by the pussy in Trump Tower? And he looks at me. He's like, wait, what? And I haven't thought of it in, I don't know, 20 years, maybe more. I haven't thought of it. And I remember I met this guy, I think in a club. I think we met in a nightclub. And we talked on the phone a bunch of times and we agreed to have an afternoon date. And his parents lived in Trump Tower, which was relatively new,
hot,
on Fifth Avenue, right? And we agreed to meet in the Trump Tower because there were all the stores, the restaurants downstairs, and we said we'd have lunch. And I remember we went and we had lunch. I had chicken salad. Oh, my God, I didn't even remember that. So I'm just telling you this story. So I have lunch
chicken
with
salad
him.
Will do it.
Talking. Do it. I know. And we want to go up to the second floor. And he says, no, I know the shortcut. And leads me into the back stairwell, where in the stairwell, he totally jumps me. Now, I don't get raped, it's not like a rape, but I get like a hand down my pants, not that I'm protesting strongly, and like sort of have to extricate myself because I'm alone in a stairwell with this much bigger guy. I mean, it's a totally dangerous situation. And I am not screaming, but I'm like knowing a lot. And eventually we get out of the stairwell and I'm trying to keep my composure and I'm like, fine. And I'm okay. And he sort of acts like nothing ever happened. And it was just the most really freaky. Anyway, I hadn't thought of the guy. I hadn't thought of the incident and I'm repeating it to Rob and I say the guy's name. And like, I literally haven't thought of the guy.
What's his name?
I'm not going to say it. I don't want to say it.
No, don't. So I say, Julie's insane. So, she wants people to put him on a kill list. Her kill list.
Julie, I will tell you so you can tell your mafioso friends. I just don't even want to say it. So I never Googled him. I never looked him up on Facebook. I hadn't thought of him in 20 some odd years. I speak his name to Rob. Later that day, I open up Facebook Messenger and there's a message from him.
Oh,
what?
I swear to God, there is a message from them. Hey there, long time. How you doing?
Alexa heard you or the computer.
Oh
I swear the computers are listening.
Long time since I forced you on a stairwell and shoved my hand down your pants. What's up? What's up? Just normal. Just being normal.
He must have thought when this scandal came out, he must have remembered the same thing I remember. And maybe he was testing the waters. Maybe he was like, he was reaching out just to see if I would say, you disgusting fucking, whatever I would do. He was just testing the waters to see, but I couldn't believe it. It literally was a matter of hours.
That is so fucking weird.
That is.
That is crazy.
Did you just delete it and just keep it pushing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I deleted it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to even. Yeah. No thank you.
I mean, I would think
No thank you, Mr. Cosby.
Right. No thank you, Mr. Cosby. Exactly.
I wonder how many. I mean, there must be millions of men who made those calls then because.
Oh, and he probably had 14 messages to send.
He probably did. So does 90% of the male population. So,
he went down the list checking everyone off and he'd grabbed in the stairwell.
Oh, my God.
It sounds so familiar. Just like you're like playing it off, pretending it's mutual. Yeah. Right. No, I'm attracted to you too. Let's move it into like a public space. So I can say, whoops, I got a call.
Right. Yeah, this is not safe for me to be alone with you in a stairwell. Right.
There should be a day of like Yom Kippur, Jen, where men, it's called Men Kippur, where they have to atone for their shitty fucking behavior and just every year go and apologize to a woman that they've made feel like that because they've all done it. Oh, yes, God, agree. It's called Men Kapoor. I made it. I've decided it.
It's the new holiday.
It's the new holiday where they have to atone for their sins.
Men Kapoor.
Men Kapoor. It's not rape. It's just, you know, just that. Just like, sorry, I pushed you in the... I thought it was
too
mutual.
Much. Sorry,
it was
chased too much. You around the bed.
I'm aggressive.
Sorry,
yes,
I
got tested.
I get a blowjob instead of...
All that.
All the Khair Shahatanus. But then I committed for this.
Yeah, all that. They didn't, you know, I didn't mean... You know, I'm sure they're, you know, they don't know. They didn't mean it, but whatever. Oh, God, that's good.
Like bread for Tashley, like throw panties into the sea. It would be very... They all have to go to a body of water and throw panties.
Put a shawl over their head and daven and be like, hey, I'm sorry. Push your head down on my dick.
Well, Jen, thank you so much for coming on and putting this amazingness on the record. No one's stealing this fucking story from now on.
That's right.
Oh, you are free to steal it. I give you permission. I'm sure she would give you permission. No doubt.
So tell our 14 listeners where they can find and follow you on your preferred social medias, because they will follow you. I mean, there's 14 of them, but still, you'll see your number go up 14. And you'll be like,
fantastic.
All right.
Fantastic. So on Twitter, I'm at Hey, It's Jen Cohn, J-E-N-C-O-H-N. And on Instagram, I'm at Fashion Dilettante, D-I-L-E-T-T-A-N-T-E.
Thank you again, Brandy, and we'll talk soon.
Pleasure. Brandy, have a good one, babe.
Kisses.
Bye.
Bye.
Now it's time for So There's That. Okay, so this is the part of the show where Judgy S. Julie has to find a positive thing that's happening because of or in spite of the current political situation. She hates doing it, and the truth is, it's our producer who makes her do it. And without going into too much detail, which we're not going to, we have our own privacy, we have privacy laws enacted in here. We, Meow Meow and I, are in a transitional time with this podcast.
I'm not transitioning.
And she could, if we, as in me and you, our 14 listeners, if we decide to let her, she could stop doing So There's That. So for the 2 out of the 14 who are still listening right now, because I know most of you turned the shit off probably halfway through Jen, please hit us up and give us your feedback. Do you care about So There's That? Do you like torturing Julie and forcing her to be positive even when she phones it in half the time? I know I do. But really, if you guys don't care about this segment and you know, it's not really something you're dying to keep, we don't have to. We don't.
I could think of a new segment. I could.
What would that be called? Maybe. A Man I Hate, Vigilante List.
Oh, God. Yeah. Can we add Vigilante List to the show?
Of course. We can add anything
okay,
you
good.
Want. But so I have
a new person. It's not always men. No. Some women, but like I've told you before. The women on the vigilante list don't ever get murdered. They just get tortured.
I remember one woman specifically saying she loves So There's That was her favorite part.
All right. Well, if just one says it's their favorite, I'll keep it.
Give us your feedback. Y'all, well, 1 out of 14 is like kind of a high percentage. So
I do add
hit us up, Meow Meow. Give us something good so we don't cancel this segment.
All right. For those assholes who got in Alexandra Pelosi's face.
Who's that? That's Nancy.
Nancy, I mean, God, that's her daughter,
you
Nancy.
You always say Alexandra. Is that her
kid? Because her daughter's Alexandra. Sorry. Oh. Nancy.
What does Alexandra do?
She's a filmmaker.
Okay, we'll start over.
For those assholes who got in Nancy Pelosi's face because she didn't do enough for immigration rights, first of all, I still want that guy who got in her face at that rally. And you know what I'm talking about. And you know who you are. And I want you to call me in. Call me in? I want you to call in.
Call me into your office.
Call me into your office. Because I fucking want to tell you to go fuck yourself and never stop fucking yourself until you go and apologize and bring Nance some flowers and some candy and say you're sorry because you're fucking hulking asshole.
It's never going to be okay to get up into an octogenarian's
ever,
face.
Ever.
A septuagenarian.
And
or
I don't care. You think that if some lady were to be like, what are you doing, dyke? That I would get up in her face? I wouldn't.
Never.
I would never fucking do that because you just don't do that. That's disgusting. Ugh. Anyway, that guy, I still haven't stopped thinking about that guy. I hate it's haunting. That guy.
We surrounded her.
All those people, in fact. Everyone who was in that lineup, you need to look in the mirror and punch yourself
but
in the face.
But that was a long time ago, so why should we care now?
Okay. I don't ever like letting things go. So, once again, and I bring that up because a few days ago, the classiest, one of the classiest white ladies in the house took to the floor and spoke for an unprecedented.
Precedented.
I'm saying it like that.
I know. An unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Not precedented.
No.
Precedented.
An unprecedented 8 hours in defense of dreamers. Okay? All of those dreamers that were standing and yelling at her and wagging their fingers and up in her face and making her feel threatened. She stood there for 8 fucking hours for you. You assholes.
Never stopped talking.
Never stopped talking. Now, let me just say this. This whole endeavor shows how much she actually does care and listens and isn't turned off by the immature, shitty behavior of entitled fuckfaces who, if it happened to me, I would have gone direct and been like, deport, deport, deport.
Or just,
I'm not
like,
kidding.
Fend for yourself because I ain't got time.
Or exactly. I wouldn't have done that. But I would think I would shut down and be like, well, you know what? Then fuck you. And I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm done.
I don't have to do this work.
I'm not. You think that you're so entitled that I'm here to exist for
there's
you?
A thousand other issues. Literally.
There's homeless
there's,
people.
There's healthcare.
There's
homeless
children
epidemic,
dying.
No
there's
education.
Trans youth killing themselves. Like, you know how many fucking different issues there are? You aren't the only thing that exists in this planet. Fucking dreamer asshole. And I don't mean all of them. I mean the ones that were at that rally harassing her.
But she didn't shut down.
No, she did not. She shut up. She shut out, actually. She opened up. She rose up. She rised above. Okay? For you. So.
She's 77 years old and she was wearing
let me tell you. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
The House Minority Leader spoke for more than 8 hours. The longest continuous speech in the House chamber ever in the history of the House. There is no filibuster equivalent in the House of Representatives, so Pelosi took advantage of the so-called magic minute rule that 1 minute lasted longer than anyone expected. Now, what's the magic minute rule? The time a representative may speak and hold the floor is normally limited to keep a debate and discussion moving. The majority and minority leaders are granted a magic minute, which is magic because it's unlimited. So, she said, quote, I'm going to go on as long as my leadership minute allows, end quote. 8 hours and 7 minutes, to be exact, a marathon monologue in 4-inch heels and went on without any food or bathroom breaks.
She's 77 years
That's 8 hours.
Old.
Can you go
in
for
four
8 hours?
4-inch heels. I wore big heels in my audition and the whole top of my foot's bruised.
Yeah, I mean, can you not peeing for 8 hours? I can't pee now for not 8 hours. I can't stand in 4-inch heels. I can only wear sneakers now.
It is honestly, it is so gangster. It like it
it's beyond
it floored me.
And she did it for you. She did it for you, those dreamers in that rally who made her feel like shit. She did it for you.
And just let me say one other quick thing. A lot of people this whole time we've been doing this podcast have talked about how they want to replace her. They want young, they want youth. And I always just through our research, it's like, why can't they replace her? What's the problem? And it's like, you know, and we've heard this time and again, they can't replace her because she's so fucking good at fundraising. Yeah. And the whole name of the game is fundraising.
Right.
She has proven time and again at every turn how gangster she is. And I just, she has inspired me. And it's just in a way that like, it's real, real hard to do. And I mean, like to do it at that age. I don't look up to people at that age.
Seven.
It's really, really cool. Yeah.
So, she has another daughter, I guess, named Christine, said her phone began blowing up because she didn't know that they were going to do that. Her mom was going to do that. Can you imagine all of a sudden you turn the TV on, your mom's standing there and you're like, she's 77 fucking years old. So people would text me and say, I would have gone to, you know, right. People have been like, I would have gone to the bathroom by now and blah, blah, blah. And she was texting people, don't jinx her. Don't jinx her. Don't even think that. Don't even think that. Like, her kids must fucking look up to her so hard.
Man,
love her so,
so
much.
Great.
So Pelosi was trying to bring attention to dreamers, young undocumented immigrants brought here as children. President Trump suspended an Obama-era program that offered them protections and gave Congress 6 months to come up with a replacement. But more than 5 months later, still no legislation. So she's fed up. Pelosi began reading the stories of dreamers. So in the 8 hours, what she did was, besides like say a lot, she read story after story of these young people who are here. And I hope that specifically some of them were the ones that treated her like shit, because I will not let that go ever. Here's what I thought. This was her basically her opening statement. Mr. Speaker, This debate is an utter waste of time. Every day, courageous, patriotic dreamers lose their status. Every day, the American dream slips further out of reach. As members of Congress, we have a moral responsibility to act now to protect dreamers that are the pride of our nation and are American in every way but on paper. So I use this occasion to opposing bills to speak further on social justice in America. So there's that. Well, that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
We love you guys. Thank you for listening. We didn't really talk about it, but this is a milestone episode for us. We kind of touched on it, but it represents big changes. We are making moves in 2018, moves that we've been talking about interpersonally for months, and hopefully the shit pays off. And by pay, I mean with actual money.
Yeah. Speaking of money, if you want to give us some, go join our Patreon for $1 a week and you get an extra hour of us. The first episode is free, so there's no reason not to check it out. And, you know, you should try it.
See if you like it.
What have you got to lose?
You don't have to sign up to hear the free episode. You just go there.
It's www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. And if you'd like to see me perform stand-up in March... Or is it too, maybe it's too early to say it.
Fuck it.
Okay.
And as I'd love to watch you perform stand up anytime and every time, okay?
I'll do it for you later.
And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and it's been dumb.
And no, thank you, Mr. Cosby. No.
Oh, Mr. Mr. Cosby.
That's what really got you.
Oh no.
I'm just not interested.
No, I'm just not interested, Mr. Cosby. No, thank you, Mr. Cosby. The peasants love the theater. They love the theater.